I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Listen, all you motherfuckers!
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Arch Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name is Bart, and welcome to show 33 of Bart Cop Radio. Glad to have you with us. As always, this is a little different than the other shows. Not sure if that means we can't find our way or we're just so unique. What we have today is mostly a clip show, and by that I mean I'm getting better at the grabbing some sound clip and answering technology, and I'm getting a whole lot better at grabbing sound clips, as explained previously. But a lot of stuff on the show today. We're going to hear from Lewis Black, a little James Carville. We're going to hear some Al Franken. We're going to hear some Kathy Griffin, who I didn't used to like, but now I like her. Can't explain why. Got a little more John Stewart for you. We're going to smack Dennis Miller around a little bit. Going to smack Larry O'Donnell around a little bit. We're going to smack Colin Quinn around some. We're going to let Russert have it. We're going to let Bob Schieffer have it. Got a little Richard Simmons story for you. Got a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Let's get into it. Let me start off with the checklist. What's on the checklist? Let me see. Ah, shot at Chinako, it says. Okay. Oh. You people who don't drink the Chinako, I just feel so sorry for you. Sure, in Oklahoma, it's $35 a bottle, but it's good for, I mean, when I say a shot, I'm talking about a gulp. So there's got to be 100 gulps for $35. Lordy. That's 33 cents a gulp. For that kind of taste, for that kind of flavor, for that kind of zest? Whoa. Okay, can't waste no time. As soon as I waste some time, it'll have to go on a third CD. We're trying to keep these to two CDs. So let's get into the show right now.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Here are a couple of outrages. The first one is from Clinton hating Margaret Carlson. Second one from Al Hunt.
The military has dropped its persecution of Captain James Yee, but refuses to admit its mistakes. First, they threw the Muslim chaplain into solitary confinement in leg irons for 76 days for removing classified papers. When that charge didn't pan out, they coerced a fellow officer into testifying in open court about a past affair, humiliating Yee in front of his wife and child. Instead of an apology for malicious prosecution, Yee got a rare reprimand for adultery. What the military did to Yee is shameful. What the military did to itself is incalculable.
Bush and his gang of thugs have done this several times. I suppose they do it to make the headlines, to make the people who aren't paying attention think they're doing something, but every few months they'll charge somebody with a whole bunch of crimes. Treason and aiding the enemy and, you know, all these crazy charges. And then quietly, a few months later, they drop all the charges. After ruining the guy, of course. Can't let anyone get out unscathed. But why the hell are they doing this? And why the hell are we putting up with it? They just charge people for no damn reason. If they think they thought they might have seen a woodchuck, all of a sudden, this guy's name and his picture all over the front pages worldwide. Branded as traitors by the BFEE, but then who sees the retraction months later?
Al Hunt. At a Washington press dinner this week, President Bush tried to joke about the administration's inability to find the weapons of mass destruction it had insisted were in Iraq.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere.
Self-deprecating humor can be a great political weapon. Ronald Reagan joked about the budget deficit and Bill Clinton made fun of his Monica scandal. Two differences. Reagan and Clinton were good at this humor and nobody died as a result of the budget or Lewinsky miscues.
So after 3 years of monstrous tragedies, Al Hunt has finally come up with the courage to criticize the unelected smirk. Congratulations, Al. I want you to hear a little something from yesterday's Meet the Press. Richard Clark was on, and Russert got a big head of steam up, and he thought he had the big bad question that was going to knock Richard Clark off his ass onto the floor. So I want you to check this out. It's so much fun. And, you know, when you're right, and you have the facts and the truth on your side, it's so easy to win a debate. It just falls into your lap. It's water going over a cliff. It just is going to happen. All you got to do is fight back a little bit. This is Tim Russert, the pit bull, the toughest interviewer in all of Washington. Mr. Tough as Nails, going to grab you and just tear you to pieces. Check him out. He thinks he's got Clark all cornered. You can tell by the inflection of his voice. Do-da-da, you know, he thinks he's really hammering him, just hammering him, nailing him to death. And then Clark comes back and kicks his ass.
Some critics have said, Mr. Clark, that you're much more forgiving and tolerant of President Clinton than you have been of President Bush. With the USS Cole was bombed, there's a riveting scene in your book with Mike Sheehan from the State Department who screamed out, "What's it going to take, Dick? Who the expletive do they think attacked the Cole? Expletive Martians? The Pentagon brass won't let Delta go in there? Hell, they won't even let the Air Force carpet bomb the place. Does Al-Qaeda have to attack the Pentagon to get their attention?" President Clinton did not bomb the Al-Qaeda camps that you wanted, destroy them, did not respond after the Cole was attacked, 17 sailors killed.
Right.
And yet you're saying that he was more aggressive than President Bush?
Well, he did something, and President Bush did nothing prior to September 11th, so yeah. But let's talk about the Cole. The Cole was attacked in October of 2000. President Bush was running for office. He never mentioned it. Vice President Gore was running for office. He never mentioned it. The media hardly touched it. What were they focused on? They were focused on the election, and they were focused on the Middle East peace process. I thought it was a mistake, and the very fact that I quote Mike Sheehan in the book as saying that, I think is indicative of how he felt and how I felt. If I didn't think it was a mistake, that wouldn't be in the book. The facts have come out, and the facts have come out before the 9/11 Commission, that the FBI and the CIA refused to say who did it in October of 2000. And the president was therefore faced with the problem, can I go ahead and bomb somebody in retaliation for the attack on the Cole when my CIA director and my FBI director won't say who did it? Now, this is the same president who, when he bombed Afghanistan, when he bombed Al-Qaeda camps, because George Tenet and I and Sandy Berger recommended he do it in order to get bin Laden and the leadership team where we thought they were going to be meeting. The reaction he faced to that was the so-called wag the dog phenomenon. No one in the media, Tim, no one in the media, no one in the Congress said, oh, that's a great thing that you're retaliating for the attack on the United States. They said, this is all about Monica Lewinsky, and this is all about your political problems. So now the same president who had that experience last time he fired cruise missiles at bin Laden wants to fire cruise missiles at bin Laden, but he's got a CIA director and an FBI director who won't say bin Laden did it, Mr. President. I would still have done it. I recommended doing it. Do I think it was a mistake that we didn't do it? Yes. But let's understand the context.
Let me turn to Iraq.
That was so funny, because after thinking he had Clark all nailed to the cross, Clark kicks Russert's ass out of the chair, and Russert's sitting on the floor. He's going, well, let's shift to Iraq. Yeah, let's get way the hell away from the subject where you just got your butt handed to you, Tim. Why didn't you challenge him, Tim? Mr. Pitbull, why didn't you come back with a stronger argument and beat up Mr. Clark? You couldn't do it, could you, Tim? Tim Russert, the big show for the Bush administration, doing all he can to make Clark look bad, and he can't do it. And right after Clark kicks his ass, they go, oh, let's change the subject and talk about something else. Russert is always like that. He is such a coward. I can't believe. And they call him the pit bull. Oh, please. I also like the way Clark answered the deal that After Clinton fired cruise missiles at Bin Laden, they said, oh, he's trying to wag the dog. And now they want him to go after the coal attackers, but the CIA won't even say who the coal attackers were. So they're demanding that Clinton take action against somebody who knows. We suspect Al-Qaeda, but we don't know if the CIA is too chicken, if they don't have enough facts, if they're not willing to identify a target. They want Clinton to bomb it anyway. What kind of wag the dog charges do you think they go after with Clinton if he was bombing targets willy-nilly without the CIA backing him up? Think of that. All these years, 6 years we've had to put up with, oh, Clinton didn't fight back. Well, he's trying to fight back. Unlike Bush, he was trying to take action, but the CIA would not back him up. So how the hell is he going to go bomb targets? What's he supposed to personally pick out a target? He's supposed to throw a dartboard at a map? If the CIA refuses to cooperate, how is Clinton going to fire missiles at some unknown target? How is Clinton personally supposed to investigate the coal? If the CIA will not give him an answer, how is he... And remember, all this time they're impeaching Clinton. Clinton's trying to fight Al-Qaeda and the damn Congress and run a country and boost the economy. Oh, what a job he did there. But he's got all this going on, and they're wanting him to fire cruise missiles at somebody that they refuse to identify. Typical Republican doublespeak, and it's horseshit. This next clip is from Face the Horror with Bob Schieffer. Bob Schieffer's guest was Secretary of Horror Colin Powell. So it's Powell and Schieffer and this new lady, don't know her name. But anyway, this lady starts pounding Powell. And check out, you talk about non-responsive. He can't answer a question to save his ass. Listen.
Mr. Clark said this morning that not only should his testimony be declassified in its entirety, but so should his memo of January 2001, all of his emails back and forth with Condoleezza Rice, and the final directive 7 days before September 11th as well. Do you think that all this should be laid on the table, made public, so that people can make up their own minds?
I think we should put out as much as we possibly can. Now, I can't speak to a specific document and say declassify it because somebody classified it, and I don't have that authority, but I think that we should try to put out everything that we can. I think we should work with the commission. The commission has all of these documents, and if the commission believes there's a particular need for something to be declassified, ask us to do it. So I think that the whole record should be out there.
That was just a bunch of mangled gobbledygook. He says he thinks as much of it should be out there as possible, and then he says it should be all out there, but what they really want to do is selectively leak tiny slices of it to make Clark look bad. That's the goal here. The goal is not honesty. The goal is not transparency. The goal is not to level with the people who they serve, the taxpayers. The goal is to keep the monkey in power, and so what they're going to do is praise the monkey when he doesn't deserve it and try to execute anybody who tells the truth about the unelected usurper.
And as the commission chair and vice chair said earlier this morning, as well as earlier during the week, let's wait until the commission finishes analyzing all this information before we go to judgments and conclusions and decisions as to who might have done something right and who might have done something wrong.
Translation, let's get through this election before we make any judgments about the idiot who stole his way into power, then went to sleep and got 3,000 people killed. Let's not look at the evidence now. Let's wait. Let's wait for the commission to put a report together 10 or 15 months from now. That's their solution. Don't decide. Give us what we are due, which is supreme being for life, supreme commander till the end of time. That's what they want. Just give us that, and we'll look at this report after we consolidate our power, after we've depleted the treasury, after we've kicked in whatever nation's doors that we wanted and stolen their oil. Just trust us. Wait till after the election, then we'll decide. Nuh-uh. Nagada. Ain't going there, Mr. Powell. You don't deserve it. You haven't earned it.
The U.S. Park Service, the agency that guards our national monuments and takes care of our national parks, has come up with an idea to save money. The agency brass asked park superintendents to draft plans to close the parks on national holidays. Yes, you heard right. Close the parks on days when people are off work and have an opportunity to use them. But that's just the stupid part. Here's the outrageous part. It turns out that one reason the Park Service is short of money is that Park Service officials have been doing a lot of traveling. They spent $44 million on official travel at home and abroad just last year. And that includes stops in such exotic locales as China, South America, France, and Italy. Park Director Fran Maniella was hauled before Congressman Charles Taylor and Norm Dick's House committee last week in order to cut the travel and keep the parks open. She promised to comply. From now on, she said, no more overseas trips. Well, that is a start, but it is just the latest chapter in a tale of Park Service mismanagement, and the Park Service police chief was fired for revealing she didn't have enough police officers to guard the national monuments.
Well, four things we must kick around. Number one, that was Bob Schieffer, CBS News, and he is a whore. He is a whore of the prime magnitude. He watched Smirk in the debates against Gore and said, "My God, I was so impressed with Bush's mastery of foreign policy." What a monkey, what a whore. Bob Schieffer, who did you suck to get that job? I can't believe what an enormously, impossibly whore thing to say that Bush is a master of foreign policy when he couldn't find Europe without a fucking map. In this case, Bob Schieffer seems to be telling the truth. If he's going to go on the record and say the Park Service did that, I'll bet in this case he's telling the truth because it doesn't require an opinion from him. He was giving us the facts. They spent $44 million on travel. Lately, I mentioned how, mostly jokingly, how the French can't play poker, and I joked, ooh, wonder what a trip to Paris would cost, and some people wrote, said, "Bart, you can go to Paris for between $900 and $1,200 round trip." So if the Park Service spent $44 million on travel, that's 44,000 trips to Paris. Repeat, 44,000 trips to Paris. Why the hell is the Park Service taking 44,000 trips? Now, it might not have been 44,000. Might have been 22,000, considering, you know, if you fly to Hong Kong, it's going to cost more than flying to Paris, and maybe it was just 11,000, considering they took the wife and the kids. But what the hell does a Park Service ranger have to fly to Hong Kong for? Why are they stealing this money? Why is Bush letting them steal? They're shutting down the damn parks because they don't have enough money, and the sons of bitches are spending $44 million on travel? I don't like that. It's almost enough to piss me off. That's another thing about the typical operating methods of the BFEE. The head park lady, whatever he just said, was fired because she said she didn't have enough cops to protect the monuments. So instead of giving her more cops, instead of spending more money that could be used for tax refunds for the super rich, they fire the lady. That's how the BFEE operates. You go it our way or we fire you. And if we can't fire you, we might put a bullet in your head. We might knock your plane out of the sky. But either way, you're going to do business with us. If you dare to raise your voice against these bastards, they come at you and they ruin you financially or they kill you. One of the two. Ask the miners that work for the Barrick Mining Company how they're... Oh, I'm sorry, they can't speak. They're dead. You just don't get in the BFEE's way. When you control the world's oil, when you control the world's gold, when you control the world's only superpower, if you get in their way, they stomp you. And yeah, maybe that's why the Democrats are so damn scared. But hell, it's their job to fight back. They're supposed to fight for this country. They're not supposed to cower when America has a big machine run amok trying to control it. They're supposed to do their damn jobs like pretend they're patriots instead of simpering wimps. But anybody speaks up against the BFEE, they lose their livelihood. And sure, that's an incentive to keep quiet, but Jesus, doesn't anybody care?
Got Bart. Now you do. Bart Cop Radio.